Welcome. Welcome, friends. Highfalutin Ski Bum Podcast number 55. How's everybody doing? It is your pals, Brian, Mario, and our special guest, your old friend and ours. It's John. Fellas, how's it going today?
Going good today. I want to give a shout out to my nephew, Anthony, who my brother is letting listen to my show now.
Hey, Train.
He's down in West Palm Beach. Him, Tony, my brother, and my sister-in-law, Susan. Just want to say thanks for listening. They're sharing the love down there.
Thanks, everybody.
I can't top that, so I'll just say everything's good. Everything's smooth.
Smooth.
Waiting for the snow to fall?
Patiently.
That's it.
Patiently. You know, it is almost ski season, so, you know, that's all we can do now is just bide our time and wait and try to have a little fun and have a couple of beers. So,
and thank you. Oh, yeah.
You didn't even let me get into the website or to our social media, skibumpodcast.com, instagram.com/skibumpodcast. What else is it? Twitter.com/skibumpodcast, facebook.com/skibumpodcast. But more importantly, weeklyflavor.com/we're drinking/delicious.
Hashtag weekly flavor. All right, we'll start with you, Brian. What do you got?
Well, I decided I'm keeping it light. I'm trying to find lighter beers that I like because usually, as you guys know, with our podcast history, we do a lot of heavy beers, a lot of big double IPAs, you know, heady topper, sip of sunshine, space juice. I'm trying to keep it light for the summertime. So I found Traveler IPA Shandy. So we're talking a 4.4% shandy-ish beer, but it's still got the hoppy IPA goodness to it. And it's got John's nemesis, grapefruit, but this is a very drinkable light beer. You could probably have like 4 or 5 of these on the beach, hang out, go for a bike ride. You know, it's a nice sessionable beer. So a lot of those are a little too sweet, the Traveler Shandies, but this one's mighty tasty.
I wonder if you could put that in your bottle while you bike ride. What do you think, John?
Well, you could definitely put this in your bottle. My Otra Vez from Sierra Nevada.
Ah.
And I can say one thing here tonight is that no one's drinking cactus besides me.
Oh, there's cactus?
Cactus and grapefruit. So the cactus at least offsets the grapefruit just a touch. My mortal enemy.
That's pretty crazy. What kind of cactus? Prickly pear cactus?
It doesn't say. It says cactus. And it's a 4.5%. So it's a good light summer beer, though.
Oh, you guys are light and summery. I thought I was going to get a nice, light, and summery one. So I got a Sierra Nevada Optimum. It's a whole cone Imperial IPA. I should have looked at Imperial because that usually means it's pretty boozy. It actually doesn't taste that boozy, but it's 10.4 ABV. So this is on the higher side. It actually, for being that heavy, it tastes light. Tastes, you know, very hoppy. Little hint of, like, some kind of citrus in there. They're saying, like, grapefruit and pine and tropical fruit, but yeah, it's a lot of hop, but it's like a sweeter hop, so it's kind of nice.
I thought Imperial meant it was endorsed by the dark side.
I like that.
Sorry,
Vader brow.
You're an idea brewing, no pun intended.
Whoa,
come to the dark. You could have the light side and the dark side beers, light beers, dark beers.
Well, that whole thing when the movie came out, right? Like, are you dark side or are you light side?
Oh, yeah. It's almost like it flips right and left.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So on that note, I believe it's time for the ski news. That's right. It is June 15th. Everyone's thinking about going to the beach, but no, we are here for you, friends. We're talking about snow and we're talking about skiing. And first up, up to 9 feet of snow has fallen in South America. Yes, they got pummeled down there in South America, particularly Portillo and Valle Nevado. They both got, Portillo got 118 inches of snow in 17 days, or last 7 days, and Valle Nevado got about 50 inches in the last week or so. So Valle Nevado is opening early, but Portillo and Las Linas Argentina. They actually just got struck with a rainstorm and slightly warmer temperatures. So they had that initial snowfall, which was great, but then it sort of, you know, has been unraveling a bit for them. But they're still doing all right down there.
I shouldn't book my flights just yet, or
you might want to hang out a little bit longer to book those flights. But they're saying that most of the big ski resorts are going to be opening June 24th, so you got another week. So scrap, you know, sell a few more boxes of Girl Scout cookies and look in the couch cushions and get ready for next weekend. That's probably your best bet.
I've been looking like crazy for deals, and the lowest deals I could find right now, and they're going in late July and August. I guess that's peak time, and they're all around $3,500.
Now, what does that get you for $3,500? Exactly.
Flight, hotel, transfer from the airport, breakfast every day, and I think dinner.
Lift tickets?
I'm not sure. I think lift ticket is included, but it's like a 5 out of 7 day or something, which is fine.
Okay.
But yeah, it's not bad. It's just I look at that price and I'm like, yeah, I could dump that into like 2 ski trips in the U.S.
Yeah, or cat skiing or something that's, you know, pretty insane.
Just such a buck. I can't get around it.
Yeah, it's kind of tough to justify, but we're gonna get down there one of these years. I promise that.
Yeah. You got a big birthday next year. Maybe we'll plan it for that.
I got a big, sexy birthday next year. So already thinking about heading down there. Because one of my bucket list items is I have to ski on my birthday.
Uh-huh.
And it's July 11th. And you can check out my Amazon wish list if you want to help me celebrate this year.
Yeah, Chile, Argentina would help. That would work.
Will not be too shabby at all.
It'd be quite unique.
Right? Going down the shore for your birthday? No. I'm going skiing. Bitches.
Hey, bitches. All right. Let's see. Park City. So in Park City, opposition avails, trademark application grows. So Park City, the name, Vail is trying to trademark Park City as the name for the resort. So they're trying to protect the brand. But the people in the town are fighting it, saying that they can't just trademark the city name. So it's kind of being fueled by, I guess, when Vail came in, there was like a lot of bad blood. So they're saying it's kind of being fueled by that. And, it's a hot button topic right now. So it's going to court and they're going to fight the trademark. I don't know how you can, because they bought Park City, the resort. So why wouldn't they still use the name?
So damn politicians. Just trying to get something out of them.
Damn politicians.
Well, it was originally Park City Mountain Resort, right? And then they combined it with Canyons, right? And then they changed it to just Park City.
Right. But I think somewhere in there, technically, they changed it from Park City Mountain Resort to something else. I don't know if it was Canyons or whatever. And they're saying they released the name. So now to try to get it back, they're fighting it, which is just – I guess they're doing it just to be difficult. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I wonder, too, if people are more – like you mentioned earlier, people are just pissed off that Vail bought it. If it was, you know, the actual just independent Park City Mountain Resort trying to do it, people might be a little more accepting or willing to work with them. It's probably be more of a big FU to Vail, but they don't want them to get any sort of, you know, what's the word? The thing. The trademark, I guess.
Yes.
The intellectual property, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah, so they're just saying it's escalated. I mean, if you go through it, it's a whole chain of events that happened, but it's something else that people want to fight.
I don't see how they could stop them.
Yeah, exactly, like why?
Well, yeah. One of those weird things too, it's such a generic name, Park City. That's like you know, copywriting Main Street.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's a good idea.
I'm
going to trademark that.
Oh, you know, every city would have to pay you royalties.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, get our lawyers on the phone.
Genius.
See if
John, that's why we brought John on today, because he is a master of these sort of things.
We should all see if MainStreet.com is available. It's a website. Just saying.
I think it's porn. It's like WhiteHouse.com is porn.
Anything good is porn. Porn, don't worry about it. That was like I told Brian that earlier about Peloton,
uh-huh.
And he misspelled it, and I was like, uh-oh, dude, what did you get land on? Luckily, it was just a manufacturing site, but he was,
it was like a plastic manufacturing company. Nothing exciting.
Could have definitely been something a lot worse.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Could you tell me how you misspelled that, please?
Just kidding. Type the pen is, and then hit enter.
Pen Island? What?
That's right.
All right, next up. So last podcast, which is a little over a week ago, we just gotten word that Muhammad Ali had passed. So we kind of, you know, sent our regards. But there was a cool story that came out this past week in the Burlington Free Press from up in Vermont. And it was about Muhammad Ali taking a ski lesson at Mount Snow. And this happened back in 1970. This was during the period where he was banned from boxing because he was you know, as punishment for a refusal to enter the draft. So in 1970, he decided to just go take a trip up to Westover, Vermont, and try skiing out, which was pretty funny because it talks, you know, the interview is with the instructor who helped him out. And he said, like, you know, they could barely find like a ski jacket for him because he was like gigantic, like 6'2", over 200 pounds, which back then was a little more freakish than our roided up chicken hormone, you know, people that we have now. But yeah, they took him up and they took him for a run, and, you know, he just, he was, you know, obviously as an athlete, you want to, you know, he wants to do his own thing and the instructor's trying to help him. And at one point he just let Ali go and he went parallel and just started flying down the mountain, and they recalled him just like yelling. He's like, get out of the way. He's like, get out of the way.
I'm flying like a butterfly.
Little kids are like, you know, dashing out of the way, trying to avoid getting hit.
I'm the greatest.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a pretty cool recount of that. You know, Bob Grattan was the ski instructor talking about his time with Ali and hanging out with him and what a good dude, what a great guy he was. And just to, yeah. And there's pictures too, which is so crazy to see him, Muhammad Ali on skis up in Mount Snow.
Pictures are great. And you know what? We did Mount Snow for 3 years, share house there. And you don't see any of these pictures around. I'm like, that's one of the things I would have put up, like, celebrities all over the place. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the one thing is they are property of the family, the wife of the Bob Grattan, who was the ski instructor. So it's, you know, personal photos. So I'm sure now they can probably sell them to Mount Snow for a pretty penny.
Yeah, you know, if they want to really improve that new lodge that they're building, that $85 million, part of that can go to buy these photos.
Yeah, that's true.
Chump change.
Let's take out another, was it EB-5 loan?
Oh, God, yeah. We don't have any Jay Peak news this week, do we?
No.
Is that good or bad?
I don't know. So, John, I don't know if you've been following us the last few weeks, but we've been talking about Jay Peak had that whole Ponzi scheme. They actually might shut them. They're stopping part of the mountain getting shut down. So the bottom line is they got them for EB-5 projects they were putting together, and they were borrowing from the projects that they had gotten funding now for the future projects to fund their operations today. So it's the whole Ponzi thing where you're
– Got it.
So they got busted by SEC. So,
wow.
Yeah. So now last week we had a story that Mount Snow, I think it was $85 million. They have a new project, an EB-5 project also, that actually got the green light because they want to build a new lodge and do some mountain improvements. So it's great for Mount Snow. But that whole EB-5, Brian and I were talking last week. It's like, I had no idea. I guess if you're an outside investor, you invest $500,000 and it creates 10 jobs in the U.S., you get citizenship.
Oh.
I'm like, wow, that's like a – so it's raising a lot of red flags all over, I think partially because of they were misusing the money, and then the other part is what it implies, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting.
Pretty crazy, right?
Well, then also we had the story of the follow-up where they had just figured out that they had someone come inspect the tram, and their tram, which I guess was operational in 1968 around there, or early 70s, and they discovered that they had the wrong weight rating on there. Weren't they saying there was like too many – they underrated the weight rating? So they've been putting too many people on there like this whole time, and there's like this crazy maintenance that's required on it?
Oh, yeah. Geez. They said the user documentation, the user manual, had the wrong print of the size of the weight limit. overloading this tram for years. So luckily there wasn't an accident, but they said it's taken a lot of extra wear and tear. And I'm like, you're lucky that it didn't fall or something like that. Overloading.
Now, I want every ski resort to check their model numbers on their lift hit, on their lifts.
Exactly. And imagine that fatter. So you, if you say, like, you know, maximum 100 people, now I think with the
I mean 50 Americans.
50 Americans.
Yeah. We're cultivating mass.
120 Europeans, you know, like, it's different.
Obesity is an epidemic.
That's right. You don't make big gulps for anything.
So I'm just I'm throwing an audible here. So I just looked it up. So the court approved that $4.9 million for the J Peak tram.
Oh, nice.
So they can repair that bad boy. They said the funding paves the way for repairs and upgrades to the lift system that must be made in order to bring the tram back online.
Yeah, they were saying if they didn't start this summer, they weren't going to be able to bring it online for the winter. It basically would have killed the mountain.
Right. Or people.
Yeah.
Yeah, they say it could be up and running by mid-June if other repairs are made while they wait for the electrical system. But the electrical system has to be fabricated by Doppelmayr, which could take as long as 9 months to complete.
Damn.
Yeah, so it looks like J-Peak is still kind of chugging along, even though there is that SEC investigation.
I would check online before going there to see if they finished the
I'm not too enticed to go there right now.
Yeah, seriously.
Unless you want like a nice scary ride. Maybe for Halloween that'll be cool.
There you go.
Ride the tram.
Yeah.
The Halloween death tram.
Have guys with chainsaws down below just holding them straight up.
That's right.
Make sure you have your wingsuit on in case you gotta do a pop out.
Yeah.
Bail out.
Ponds with alligators in it. You know.
Oh.
Too soon?
Alligators are very hot right now.
Oh yeah. You heard about the alligator grabbing the kid.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Horrible. Feel for that family. That's horrible. Terrible.
Florida's having a rough, well, not just week or month. It's always rough in Florida.
Yeah, they got a rough few go of things right now.
Yeah. Ugh. Terrible. All right, man. Last one is all you.
All right. So we have forecasters out of Denver are tracking already. El Nino's fizzling, and forecasters issue a La Nina watch for fall and winter. And what that means, they're watching it. They're saying things are getting back to normal. It's now in a neutral phase. So the extra heat in the Pacific Ocean that was causing El Nino now is basically back to normal. So they're saying that's good. But now they're actually tracking La Nina. And they're saying if it develops in the summer, they're saying it actually now has a 75% chance of strengthening during the upcoming fall and winter. And they're saying La Nina is where you have abnormal cooling of the waters instead of El Nino, where you have abnormal heating of the waters. So what that would mean, potentially, they said during La Nina years, the jet stream in the fall and winter northern hemisphere tends to stay further north than usual, often putting Colorado either right on its southern edge or sometimes even out of the main storm track. But they can lead to drier than normal winters, even the development of drought. So they're saying it's too early to predict what's in store, but it also could mean bringing a lot of snow into some of the areas, kind of like where we missed out on any snow from El Nino. Could happen with La Nina. So they're tracking that to see, you know, what's going on. I almost wonder if they make all this stuff up.
You know, I will be the first to say, El Nino, go fuck yourself and goodbye. Thank you.
La Nina, let's see where this puts us.
They're showing that La Nina could bring the wet ruckus to the northern northeastern area, which we are in desperate need of after last season.
Right. They're saying, well, they're tracking it in Colorado, so they're basing it on the, you know, what it's going to mean for Colorado. So
yeah.
Could screw Colorado, which got pounded last year with El Nino. So I guess everywhere else that didn't get snow, aka the Northeast, maybe we'll get the snow this year. Who knows?
Well, looking at the photo that's up on the Denver CBS website that we were looking at, it says dry and warm, but they're showing like the little band of dry and warm, and it's almost like Florida and like right along the Gulf Coast into Texas. And then south into Mexico. So it seems like Colorado is almost like normal. And then once you get a little further north into, into northern Colorado, Wyoming, it looks like it's in that kind of jet stream area. So it's relatively normal.
Vermont's in the wet band.
Vermont is in the wet band, yeah.
Like to get wet, Dave?
It looks almost like central, you know, like the Northern Rockies could be the perfect place to go, like the Canadian Rockies, for if this La Nina does end up, you know, panning out the way it's in, you know, predicted to right now.
I'm calling Ski Bum Week in Whistler.
Whistler might, I think, you know, it's looking like Whistler could be a deal. What about Revelstoke?
Ooh.
A little cat skiing?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Banff? You could do it all.
Do it all.
Do it all. Canadian tour. Eh?
We could crash with your buddy out there in Seattle and then drive around.
I already mentioned him yesterday. I'm like, Revelstoke, cat skiing? He's like, I'm in.
Real bumming.
We'll sleep in a van.
There you go. Or camper. Get a camper.
I like a van. It's very old school.
Van with a big dragon on the side.
Ooh.
Mag wheels.
Fuzzy dice. Oh, yeah.
Fuzzy dice. Remember the Burton van we saw in Mount Snow? That thing was awesome. The guy skiing on it, almost like an Uller character, like skiing down the mountain.
It had like a lift kit on it and a little.
Yeah, it was jacked up.
Almost had like an A-team little T on the, you know, fin on the back.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it looked like it came out of Dazed and Confused. It was perfect.
Awesome.
All right, so I guess that wraps up the old ski news for the week, doesn't it?
That wraps up the old normal.
So our topic this week.
So for topic this week, we are talking about Let's Binge Again. We're talking about binge watching. During the summer months and, you know, with the change of weather, rainy days and stuff, there's a lot of binge watching going on.
You know, a lot of people like to do that in the wintertime, you know, like, oh, it's so cold that I'm going to binge watching all my shows. No, the summer is for binge watching. Everybody knows that.
That's right. And we talk about it quite often. Like, you know, we'll hang out at the bars and we'll just be like, yo, what are you watching now? You know, so it's kind of good to get ideas from other people. So we have a bunch of ideas about what we've watched recently and what we've seen and heard about. So, John, why don't you take it away? I know you're looking at a few things just now.
So I'm looking here at the Entertainment Weekly here, sitting here. And I also saw a preview for this today, but on Hulu, there's a new show called Casual coming up. It looked pretty interesting.
Casual.
Yeah, it's nice. That's all I got on it. No, sorry.
Well, cover also has Mr. Robot, which I have not watched. And Brian, you're a Mr. Robot fan, aren't you?
Mr. Robot was awesome. Came out last summer on USA of all networks, which is a little interesting. And my sister told me about it, and I was like, whatever. And then someone else, I forget who I heard about it on a podcast, actually, a tech podcast. So I went and checked it out, and I binged it. I think it was 13 episodes in like a week. And you know what? I was surprised. Again, for USA, who had like that Cougar Town show with Courtney Cox and
yeah.
It was like Friends reruns, like the worst shows you could watch. And this show was like super techy. And, you know, it's all about, like, you know, computers and hacking and taking down this evil corporation. I loved it. I just started re-binging on it this past week to get caught up again before season 2 comes out in a month.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it just put it on Amazon Prime this past Monday, so June 13th. So if you're an Amazon Prime subscriber, you can hop onto Amazon Prime and watch them all.
Oh, cool.
Without their stupid commercials that the USA app makes you watch if you're on Apple TV.
I've been Netflix binging lately.
So oh, yeah?
I'm watching a series called Cuckoo right now.
Cuckoo? I saw the ad for that. How was that?
It's you know, it's like one of these things. Like it's kind of like a dark comedy a little bit. You know, it's Andy Samberg and actually in the second season, Taylor Lautner's in it. In a comedic role, too. So,
oh, cool.
Kind of interesting. It's one of those things, like, once you start learning the characters, you just have to keep watching. You know, it's good. Would I say it's the best thing ever? No. But it's been fun. On top of that, I've been, over the past spring, I guess in ski season, I've been completely went through all of Sons of Anarchy.
Nice.
And oh, wow.
Never watched an episode of Sons of Anarchy or Dexter up until this past spring.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sons of Anarchy is a long one too. What are they, 9 seasons?
So is Dexter. Dexter was 7 seasons.
Dexter. Well, the last 3 of Dexter are really pretty unnecessary.
Yeah, they were.
Sons of Anarchy, you got to get through the Irish season. What was it? That was 3rd season.
Ireland season.
Oh, yeah.
They actually said, I read something. They said that almost killed the series.
I didn't mind it terribly, but you're right. It wasn't that
good. When you're binge watching, it's different. You could like kind of give it a little leniency because in another few hours you're gonna watch, you know, the next one. But yeah, they said that almost killed it. Recently, I just joined Amazon Prime. I'm like the only one on Earth that's not part of Amazon Prime.
Welcome to the club.
So I actually watched 3 of their original made series. So The Man in the High Castle, very interesting, a little strange, and it's on the premise of what if the Germans and Japanese won World War II? What would happen to the U.S.?
Yes.
It was pretty bizarre and very interesting. Alpha House, kind of a funny – it's pretty funny. It's about politics, you know, a bunch of grand old party guys that are – sharing a house in Washington, so that's pretty interesting. Hand of God, you remember Clay from Sons of Anarchy?
Yes.
He's the main guy. Very freaky, psychotic, weird thing, but very interesting. It's almost like a detective kind of freaky thing. It's just interesting. I would suggest that. It's one of those deeper watches, but it's really cool.
What was that called again?
Hand of God.
Hand of God, okay.
And then Netflix, I mean, you got to go with that. What everybody's talking about. If you haven't watched Narcos yet or House of Cards, I don't know what you're waiting for.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
Like, those are – Weeds I watched on there too. That was a long one.
Yeah, that's a long one. Great one.
Great one.
I never watched Weeds.
No?
Yeah, I never watched it.
The first 4 or 5 seasons were great, but it's 8 seasons long, and there are a few seasons that kind of started drifting off a little.
Mm-hmm.
But it was actually really good. The first few seasons you would love.
Oh, you just mentioned Narcos. They just released the new trailer for season 2 yesterday.
Awesome.
It's going to come to Netflix September 2nd.
Oh, yeah.
So right when summer is about to end and our joy goes through the roof, now we got Narcos coming as well.
Right when Game of Thrones ends.
Game of Thrones ends in 2 weeks, my friend.
Oh, no, it's going to keep going because I'm going to keep watching over and over.
But Game of Thrones, that was another one. I literally debated not watching any to just watch at the end.
Oh, really?
I couldn't hold out.
It's going to go on for a long time.
So good.
Yeah.
I actually, so I work with a guy who always reads the books. And I was like, I did the audiobook over the summer, and I did all 5 audiobooks, the pre-book, and they have one about the realms of Westeros, the area.
It's like the travel guide, right? Like the
it's from the Maester's point of view.
What's the company? Like Fodor's? Fodor's Travel Guide to Westeros?
It's Hodor's.
Hodor's Guide to Westeros.
But I tell you what, that was that one book, if I had read that before watching any of the series, that gives you everything. It's awesome. It gives you legends. It gives you information about the different realms. So that was actually very entertaining. I was actually thinking about rereading that. But the guy I work with, he's not watching this season, because this season covers where the book left off plus a little bit extra. He's waiting for the next book because he doesn't want to be behind on the books. And I'm like, dude, just watch the series, man.
Yeah, that's a little bit too deep.
Just watch.
He is an asshole, and you should not consider him a friend.
he's like, oh, yeah, I read the book. It's better. I'm like, dude. And I try to, like, I make up stuff all the time. I'm like, oh, did you see you know, I just make stuff up.
Readings for fossils, let's be honest. Come on.
Exactly.
And you know what? I did the audiobooks as well, and the first 3 are fantastic. They're so good. The 4th and 5th ones are just anger-inducing. There's so many other extra characters they bring in, and you're like, where the hell are the people I care about? Because it's the same timeline, book 4 and 5. It's just a different group of characters in each book.
Yeah, I can only think of one thing the show hasn't covered, which is pretty minor, but after last episode, they're completely caught up with all the stuff that was missing from the books.
Yeah, and they've streamlined the story, thank God.
Yeah.
Like the whole Daenerys in the 5th book, The Dance of Dragons, that is, it's unreadable. Like, it's so stupid and boring and nothing happens.
Yeah. I was really frustrated reading the books because I was like, I saw the same exact stuff, especially the first 3 books. They're very long, and I'm like, I saw this in the series. It's the same exact stuff. They didn't change anything.
No, there's a lot more details in the books, obviously. But the first three were so good, though. Like, when you're reading, like, I read the books before the show. I saw the show. And when Ned Stark dies, spoiler alert, you're like, wait a minute, this is the main guy. Like, how is he dead? Like, this is impossible.
Yeah.
That was
the Red Wedding, too. Like, what the fuck's going on? Wait a minute, did this really happen? Like, I got to go back and listen to this again. Like, did this actually happen?
I actually rewatched the Red Wedding scene on, like, YouTube last week. I need a little bit of a flashback.
Yeah.
I was re-horrified.
Yeah, it still hurts. Like, you know it's happening, and you still watch, and you're like, because Rob's wife wasn't at the Red Wedding in the books.
In the books.
And in the show, it's like the most horrible way she goes, too. She's like, I've got a son inside me, and here comes this dude, just stabs her in the stomach.
Yeah.
It's like, holy shit.
That was the first show to really just kill main characters off in wholesale fashion. And all the other shows now follow. It's like, oh, you know, but it was such a shock when they did it. They're like, oh, my God, Ned Stark died. How can he die? Like, he's the main guy.
That's why I explained the show. It's one of those shows where, you know, Star always dies, right? Star never dies. But this one,
Yeah.
All the way around.
It's like great art. They say you got to kill your babies. And this is what they're doing.
So I watch it on streaming, and after the streaming, they have the some of the writers, I guess, talk about like some of the scenes. And there's one scene where they're like, they said they're having dinner, and they're just like, they have dinner, and then they start talking to the cast like the next day, and they're just like looking at these people like, you're just gonna die in the next two episodes or so. Like, it's just, it's so weird, like it's surreal, like these actors are like, you know, I got a great career, I got a great gig here, and they're like, yeah, you're gonna die in another few weeks.
Another 10 minutes.
It's crazy.
Actually, there's just so many horrible scenes, too, that it's, like, tough to find the ones that are the worst. But one of the ones I went and rewatched recently was the wedding night of Sansa and Ramsay.
Oh, that was horrible.
Oh, when he brings, like, Theon in and, like, makes him watch, and he just, like, rams her. Ugh. And the old Ramsay ram.
That was horrible. Even the stuff they did to Theon was crazy.
Oh, well, you know what? Now, here's one thing about the books. The way they did the books, like, so, as Mario, you know, every chapter is a point of view of one of the characters.
Yeah.
So, in the books, you had to figure out who this Reek character was. You're like, wait a minute, who is this guy? Why is he now a point of view character? And they slowly just kind of started giving you details. And you're like, wait a minute, is this Theon? And then eventually it all kind of,
yeah,
manifests itself. That was really cool.
Yeah, see, the problem is I already saw the show, so I was like, oh, I know who he is.
Oh, see, I didn't. So that was actually an awesome reveal, how they did that.
The greatest line I heard about Theon was in when they were in a brothel with his sister. It was like a lactose intolerant at a, what do you call it, a dipping of cheese?
Oh, like a fondue
party. A fondue party. Wow. Lactose intolerant, a fondue party.
That's perfect with the dipping, yeah. He doesn't have a stick to dip.
Doesn't have a stick to dip.
Oh, it's crazy.
That was pretty rough. They don't have anything with an ass like this in the Iron Islands.
All right, so on Netflix, some of the other ones, Chef's Table is really good if you like cooking and you like really good chefs, and Somme. It's about this sommelier's exam that they take. They only run it like every 4 years or something, mm-hmm. or every year, but there's only like two or three people that pass. It's crazy. Very interesting. Burnt, that's another movie. So
I got one more series for you. It's called Flaked. It's on Netflix as well.
Oh, how is that? You were watching?
I do. I like it. It's Will Arnett.
Okay.
I watched a few episodes of that.
What's that?
I watched a few episodes of that. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't really like it. I didn't feel like hooked by it, though. My sister lives in Venice, California. So I saw it and I was like, all right, let me see what my sister's world's all about. And it all made perfect sense when I watched the show.
It's a little moving, but it kind of picks up in some nice twists on in the season.
I got to the episode where he goes to his ex-wife's, well, I guess still wife's house.
Yes, which by
Heather Graham.
The lovely Heather Graham.
Keeping it together.
Worth the price of admission.
Roller girl.
It's like Californication. I haven't watched that. I heard that's pretty good, too.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to watch it.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it either. Is it worth it?
It's probably one of the greatest guy shows of all time.
Oh, really? How about The League? I heard that was pretty good, too.
League? Off the chart.
Really?
Oh, you got to watch The League.
I started watching, but I was like, ah,
it's this guy's stupid humor. It's the greatest show ever.
I still haven't watched Walking Dead.
Oh, really?
I got like, what is it, 8 seasons of that waiting?
You know, I'm hooked.
I haven't thought of that either.
Dead, but up to Walking Dead. I mean, it's good. Yeah, it's just, yeah.
Yeah.
I would rank in my world, the league a little bit higher. What was the other one?
Californication.
Californication, way above Walking Dead.
Yeah,
you mentioned The Walking Dead. There's a new show that I guess the director or the producer of The Walking Dead came out with on Cinemax called Outcast.
Oh, okay.
I heard that's supposed to be pretty good.
There's somebody that watches it at work was telling me The Walking Dead, what they used to do is during the commercials, they would run these shorts, and it was The Walking Dead on an airplane. I forgot what they called it. And it's basically a series.
The Flying Dead?
Flying Dead. It's something like that. But it's basically...
It's on a plane?
Yeah, it's zombies on a plane. But they've been running this throughout the last few seasons, and actually it's a whole little series within the series that they run during commercials.
Like The Simpsons back in the day.
Yeah, right? The little shorts. It's pretty crazy.
SNL shorts.
Girl,
Mr. Bunting.
What are the other ones I'm thinking about? And Brian, you haven't watched yet. Vikings, right?
I have not seen any Vikings, no.
This is awesome.
I tried that, and I could not get into that.
Once you get into it, it's good. It took me like probably half of the first season to really get into it because there's like so much like they're explaining. And then after that, I was like, I think I binge watched 5 seasons in 2 weeks, week and a half. And I went to work during this time. So
how many seasons of Vikings are there?
I think they're up to 5 or 6.
The buses help.
I think 6 just fit because I finished binge watching it and I binge watched up to the current season and it just finished the current season.
Got it.
So I was watching. I got to the end, and I was like, shit, I got to wait the next week for the next episode. I was like, I can't binge watch the rest of this. So the last 4 episodes, I had to wait each week to watch. I was pretty pissed.
Very cool.
As a binge watcher, you have a new tolerance for that.
No.
That's why watching Game of Thrones is the biggest pain in the ass, because you're like, I need to know what else is happening.
Yeah.
Like these one-hour episodes, it's just not enough.
Right?
It's been so good this season.
See, our brains are being reprogrammed, right? Everything has to be on a binge.
Yeah. Well, also, like Game of Thrones, there's so many different storylines, and there's probably so much content that they cut out. They could easily probably put together an hour and a half to 2 hour show.
I think they should break it up into a Game of Thrones East show and a Game of Thrones West show.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Sunday and Wednesday. Come on. Yes. You like that, right?
You can cover
more storylines, right? Because there's way too many, right?
That's just like when the WWE, when they had Raw and they added SmackDown.
There you go.
Make it
just like that.
Perfect.
So fact. It's the same thing.
Pretty much.
And Episodes. That's the other one that I watched.
How funny is that?
Episodes is cool.
You seen that, right?
Yeah.
Matt LeBlanc.
He's Matt LeBlanc.
Matt LeBlanc.
In the role he was born to play.
That's right. That was pretty funny. And then I did I'm trying to think. It was not last week, weekend before. I think I watched about 8 to 10 continual hours of TV. I just watched all these Simon Pegg movies. So
I love Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
Did you get to Spaced yet?
No, Spaced wasn't on there. I got to go on. I think they have it on Netflix. I'm going to grab it.
So good. That was it was on a BBC show. And this was like back in the – must have been the mid-2000s when that came out, early 2000s, before – Simon Pegg was a really big, you know, big name.
Yeah.
And before Shaun of the Dead, so it had to be early 2000s then, I guess. And it's this, like, sci-fi-ish, like, he's, like, this nerdy guy, and he loves, like, you know, sci-fi stuff. And it's such a clever, well-done show. Kind of in the same vein as the original Office, like the British Office.
I haven't seen it.
How many seasons are there?
It's a series. 2 series, as they say.
Oh, 2 series.
2 seasons, pretty much.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So good.
Well, you got to add Mission Impossible to the list.
You know what? I watched all the Simon Pegg movies. I stayed away from Mission Impossible and Star Trek because I've seen those already.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't need to see them again. I was getting all these obscure British ones, and there was one with Kate Beckinsale, another one with Megan Fox. I was like, I had no idea. One with Rashida Jones. Cuban Fury, that was actually pretty funny.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear anything after you said Kate Beckinsale.
Oh, she's delicious. Let's put it that way. Yeah, and then, like, so now I have Cody TV, which if anybody listening wants to look up Cody TV, it's basically a free app that you install on your Amazon Fire Stick or Fire TV, And you can install it on Android. I think you can install it on Apple, but you have to have a jailbroken Apple.
So wait, now how's it spelled again?
K-O-D-I.
K-O-D-I, Cody. Okay.
And for about a year, a guy I work with, he also cut the cord, and he's got like four kids. And they're constantly watching stuff. And he's like, I can't afford the cable, you know, because they'd want the $300 a month cable.
Give him a raise. Jesus. Does he report to you?
Yeah, yeah.
Give him a raise.
So he said, he's like, yeah, my, you know, the kids are crafty. Like he looked in, he's very tech savvy. So he looked into that Cody thing, installed it. And he's like, his kids watch. They don't even want cable. They're like, you know what? I got everything on there. I stream movies. It basically has movies, series, everything on there. I show it to John. It's hit or miss. Sometimes they have low quality stuff on there, but then they, you know, older stuff, they have higher quality that's posted out there. So it's pretty crazy.
So how do I jailbreak my Apple TV for this?
I'm not sure. I do everything via YouTube. There's always a YouTube video on it.
I just got my Fire Stick last week and I'm ready to codify it.
I might have to switch it off. I have a Roku at home I could retire.
Roku, you could probably install it on there.
You can have everything.
Maybe.
As long as you got enough HDMI ports.
Because I put it on the Fire Stick. The Fire Stick doesn't have much memory. It's a tiny little thing. But it's funny. So I did it, and I was like, holy crap, this is great. I watch like Batman vs. Superman, Captain America, Civil War, like current movies that are out there. And I made one for like my brother, my sister, my other brother, and I like sent it to them. And they're all talking now, like, yeah, I think I'm ready to cut the cord.
Wow.
You know?
We have one holdout to cutting the cord in my house.
Yeah.
Sports?
Yeah. Well, the other thing is you got to get, like, a digital antenna, which we're so close to the city that you can get a small antenna and be okay. But if you're in a place that's a little bit further away, you need a little more high-powered antenna just to get your basic channels. And that's all you really need. You need that and you stream everything. There's even streaming to get, like – Brian, when you look at it, you'll see there's NHL TV.
Oh, really?
NFL ticket. Like, there's all the stuff there. Like, it's out there. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. And now we do not know the legality of these streams we're not held accountable for anything you do with your said sticks. So we're just throwing out there. We're just letting you know what is out there in the world.
Well, apparently it's legal because they don't stream it from the U.S. It's streamed from – So what they'll do is sometimes you'll watch a movie and it'll have like, you know, where like it puts like in English because they're speaking Russian or something like that. And they show, and then you'll see under the English, you'll see like Japanese. So it's basically, they took it and it was a copy from Japan that they made. So they always have it. It's outside of the US. So the copyright laws don't apply.
So it's like barely legal.
Yeah. It's legal, but you know, it's shady legal or something, or yeah, however you want to.
It's gray market.
Gray market, yeah.
Yeah.
Bottom line, it's legal. It's not like they're going to knock on your door and say, hey, you owe us money for something. Plus, you're not sharing anything. You're just streaming what's out there.
There you go.
Just taking a look-see. Taking a look under the cover.
Just looking up its dress, see what's going on.
That's right.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah, so there's a lot of good stuff that we just threw out there at you. So if you guys got any more... Anything else you want to share that we should check out? SkiBumPodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up. Or you just go to the website, SkiBumPodcast.com. Find our social media there, Twitter/SkiBumPodcast, Facebook/SkiBumPodcast, Instagram/SkiBumPodcast. Let us know what we need to check out. That's right, friends. It is time for Around the Horn. First up, China, that magical place. They are unveiling their new, quote-unquote, straddling buses, which is designed to beat traffic jams. Now, I first read this headline, and I had no idea what they were talking about. And then I clicked on the link and looked at it, and first I started laughing, and then I started thinking how smart that is, and now I'm laughing again.
I just don't know how it worked. Picture that in Manhattan streets.
Oh God, where could you use this thing?
You can't make any turns.
You have to
run over people.
Yeah, I think that's complete bull because you'd have to rebuild every road.
Yeah, right.
Right.
It looks like a monorail pretty much. but instead of using a monorail track, the street is the track, and the cars go underneath it.
Yeah, it's using the guardrail. How many guardrails do you see are mangled all over?
Yeah, right.
Like, I don't know. What are you going to do, shut down the bus while you fix the guardrail?
Yeah.
I mean, I love the idea of it.
That thing is going to chop up so many cars. It's not even funny. It's going to be crazy.
Imagine like riding a motorcycle through that thing. How terrifying that would be.
That's going to go off the road and like start going into like a village. It's going to be some stupid shit happens with that thing.
Shit's bananas.
It looks cool though. The little model, which it looks like Godzilla's going to come in and just like start everything. But it's, I don't know. The model looks good.
It looks great. Yeah, it's like kind of like a monorail. But yeah, with cars going underneath it. And so the bus is cruising at 40 miles an hour and you got some guy in like a Maserati doing like 110. Like, how's that gonna work?
I know the thing too is I buy a lot of crap from China, and I wouldn't trust riding in it in something made by them. I don't know.
It's like the seat collapses and someone falls through into traffic.
Yeah,
I just see one of the sides of it just going right down the center of a car.
Slice. Oh. Off-roading it.
Riding
over a bunch of cars or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine like a freaking SUV, like someone's driving drunk and just plows into the back of it and the whole thing collapses on top of the car.
Put some monster truck wheels on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just monster truck all over everything. You better watch out. You better get off the road when that monster truck comes. They could do that.
That's it.
Monster truck bus. Imagine like Gravedigger bus just start riding over stuff in traffic.
Is there a Gravedigger limo? They made limos out of everything pretty much at this point.
Yes. That would be awesome. Gravedigger limo.
Monster truck limo.
Oh, yeah. Gravedigger limo.
Sunday.
Going out for Sunday drive.
That's right.
All right, so keeping with the driving road thing in another country, I actually came across an article after I was looking at another disgusting article of India. The article is basically, if no one helps you after a car crash in India, this is why. And they explain why. So kind of, they're talking about there was a really bad crash and CCTV had footage of it. They basically showed a family that was hit and run. They were victims of a hit and run in northern India in 2013. And they said people were just walking by them, ignoring them, stepping over them, and the people wound up dying. So it causes huge outrage in India and other countries. They're like, why the hell does this happen? So they started doing studies on what's going on, and they basically said, after doing studies, they said about 74% of Indians were unlikely to help an accident victim, whether alone or with other bystanders. And they said part of it is there's a big fear of being falsely implicated in being part of the accident and being trapped as a witness in a court case. So they're saying it could cost some money, time, whatever. They also said if they help the victim get to the hospital, they fear coming under pressure to pay for the fees for the medical treatment.
So is that just a stigma or is that actual law though?
I guess they do it, but that's the fear. So whether it's true or not, that's like why the 74% of them are unlikely to help.
Got it.
So basically they're trying to pass like a Good Samaritan laws there to make it where, you are immune from criminal liability or anything like that or being implicated. So they actually had some staggering details. They say 15 people are killed every hour on road accidents in India. 20 children are killed every day in road accidents in India. 1 million people have died in road accidents in India in the past decade. 5 million people were seriously injured in the past decade. An equivalent of 3% of GDP is lost annually to road accidents.
It's all them cows in the middle of the road.
Yeah, well, it's mopeds and shit. Like, I know somebody that went to India, they said it's terrifying because you have like two or three people on a moped and they're riding and they're like, there's like two or three mopeds next to each other in between cars. Like, and it's chaos. They said it's bedlam. So I think it's more than just that. So
wasn't part of it too, like you mentioned their culture. Like I know I've heard people talk about, like this exact thing where they say, oh, you see someone in the street and they're injured and they're hurt, and they'll say, well, oh, that's just their karma. That's just what's meant to be. You know, they have a lot of that in their whole caste system that they have. It's really messed up.
Well, there's still the old school that, because I actually worked with a bunch of people from India at one of my previous jobs, and two of them got into it because in India they were a different caste, and they came over here, and we actually had to sit them down. And we're like, I don't really give a shit what caste you were in India. You're in the U.S., and you guys are consultants. You better shape up and do the shit that you're required to do. So they really still carry around, like, the old school still carries it around.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But, I mean, well, to them, to us, it sounds so asinine.
I don't think I'm driving if I go to India. I'm just saying.
You're planning to go to India soon?
I got to tell you, I was in London. I was afraid to drive in London.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's the wrong side of the road. Everything's roundabouts.
That's right.
Anybody just can't navigate that. I'd start going like right in the roundabouts at the left. It would just be a nightmare.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah. Anybody from the UK listening, you guys drive on the wrong side. Just saying.
Absolutely.
I agree with that.
I think we should just take them over so they can change what side of the road they're on.
Oh, there you go. You're just trying to annex stuff again.
I think it's time to. Oh, damn it. I got to work on that. I know.
I'm going to slow you down.
I'm just always trying to annex things. It feels right.
It just feels right. Annex Switzerland. Always annex Switzerland. That's the first one you do.
Yeah. All right. Next All right. up, Uber Rush. Have you guys heard about this? This sounds pretty cool. So Uber Rush is a new program by the good folks at Uber, and you will now be able to not just get a car from them. You can pretty much get on-demand delivery service for whatever you need. They're trying this out in a couple cities now, New York, Chicago, San Francisco. And, yeah, whatever you need. What do you need? You need food? You need flowers? You need dry cleaning? They're going to have someone there. Drones for aerial photography? They got that too. So this is going to be the next thing that Uber is going to try out because I guess, you know, not everybody can be carrying passengers every hour of the day. So what else are you going to do?
I think it's great for Uber drivers, but how much fatter do you think this is going to make people in America?
Well, I mean, yeah, because I guess when you're Ubering, you could go to the gym. They have someone deliver you to the gym. But if you're doing this, Uber Rush, you're probably not having like kale delivered to you.
How about this? Uber work out at the gym for me, right? So now you don't even have to work out. You ask Uber to have somebody go to the gym and work out for you.
That's going to be the greatest app ever made if they can pull that off. Whatever calories someone else is burning, it transfers to you.
Oh, no, you get credit for it, but they're going to get the calories.
No, well, exactly. So wait, you pay someone to go to the gym for you. They burn 1,200 calories. You're sitting there, you know, binge-watching weeds, and you're losing that 1,200 calories.
You're getting jacked sitting on your couch drinking a big gulp.
It's almost like FaceTime, but with calories and the reverse. Okay.
Or you could just do it where you go to the gym and work out and, like, they watch you or something like that.
What would be cool is if there was some sort of pill you could take and it just completely made you limp for an hour, like just knocked out limp for an hour, and they had, like, a machine they can strap you into that did all the work for you, and you wake up an hour later and you're, like, just exhausted and, like, ripped.
Oh, they have a pill for that. It's called a roofie.
They should call them Flories.
A little roofie. You get workout, you feel ripped out too.
Heyo, ripping and tearing.
We should just turn Uber into like mobile stores, and like they can come with like, you know, 10 different shirts you can buy.
Yeah, like a Walmart like camper that pulls up.
Yep, exactly.
Track the trailer. What do you want? What do we have this today?
So it's coming back around to that, and then you know, sooner or later we're going to just give up on this whole online fad, and we're just going to go right back to the stores, retail stores. I'm just saying.
I actually heard a podcast this week, and they were talking about this one company. I forgot the name of them. They're putting a lot of their investment into new brick and mortar stores, and they're trying to build the experience around, you know, having you know, coffee shop inside the store and everything to try to get people in touch with their product. And it's funny because like. They're going back to that, where everybody went away from that. I just saw an article today from an industry paper, and they were saying how much more valuable they're saying print advertising is versus digital, because people actually will look at the print ads a little bit more than digital.
Got it. I agree.
Pretty crazy.
I agree.
I'm ready to just start 3D printing everything. So I'd never have to leave my house.
Didn't we see something? It was like in – Russia or China, they deep 3D printed a house or something like that.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah,
it's very mainstream actually.
It was crazy. Yeah. I was like, wow, yeah. It was pretty cool. But it was a concept house, and I forgot what country it was. The entire thing was 3D printed.
Yep, that's I've seen a couple different things on that.
Really?
Yep, absolutely.
I guess it's great too if you need a piece. I'm like, yeah, just print it up.
Yep.
Yeah.
No more going to Home Depot.
Oh, that'd be great if you have like a historical house. You know, everything has to be like the way it was. It's 3D printed.
How awesome is that? Yes.
3D print.
Now, you 3D print your food?
Oh, there you go. But how do you know? It isn't it all going to taste like chicken then?
Soylent Green.
You have to get like hummus ink.
Yeah, hummus ink. They did it with chocolate. They've done like chocolate 3D printing.
You can get hummus. You can get chocolate, right? You can get, what did I say?
Beer. Your basic ingredients, some almonds, you know?
Uber 3D printing. Boom. They 3D print and bring it to you.
But you don't need Uber then. You can cut out the middleman.
That's right.
You're on 3D printing.
That's it. Yeah,
then you got to buy a big-ass printer.
You can 3D print the printer.
You got to.
What came first? Very meta here.
What came first, the 3D printer or the 3D printer?
Oh, 3D printer.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Need a couple more beers for that one.
Oh, yeah. Giggity, giggity. All right, so next we got Sky Cycle. This is an old story. The video was a little bit crazy, but basically in Okayama City in Japan, they have this pedal-powered roller coaster that requires riders to pedal all the way around. So I like the idea of making people work for their excitement, but we were watching the video. Like, it's crazy. It's a little terrifying if you're afraid of heights, but – compared to like our roller coasters, yeah, it's like little kiddie land kind of thing. I just think it was interesting the way they had it set up. It was like, you know, open kind of basket that they're riding around in. It just looked weird. It's pretty interesting. But that also brings up, we're talking cycle. So Brian and I were talking about Peloton. Did you do Peloton?
Oh, I'm digging Peloton.
This is spin we're talking about now. So Peloton's this app. I love it. I like the instructors on there. We got to take a thing in the city.
We do. We do. We keep talking about this. It's never happens.
So speaking of cycle, this is So Peloton, basically it's an app that has live cycling and posted cycling classes on there that you can do on your own. So Brian was looking at it before too. So.
And one of the trainers is George Hincapie.
Oh
yes,
used to ride with Lance Armstrong and a whole bunch of other famous people, and
yeah. Exactly. You can ride live with George Hincapie.
Wow,
pretty cool. Anywho,
my favorite's still Jessica King. Just saying, we had a whole conversation.
She one of the trainers.
Yeah,
I don't even know them by name. Yeah,
that's my favorite.
I'm gonna Google it.
Anyway, all right, Brian. That was a nice little segue.
Sorry.
All right. Well, you guys creepily look up that instructor. So the F-35 fighter. What's that?
I mistyped Peloton. Oops.
Oh, see what happens? It's hard to spell. A lot of vowels in there.
A lot of vowels.
How do you pronounce pen is in English, in another language? Just type in pen is.
Ton of penis? It's spelled wrong.
Just try to type in the pen is and you'll get to it.
Just trying to
Pen Island.
Right. You do the translations. That's how it works.
God help you if you put the pen is mighty.
Mightier than the sword, right? That's what you want, man?
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's go with that.
All right, anyway.
Good? All right, here we go. So the new F-35 fighter plane is finally making its debut into the U.S. Armed Forces. And now to be able to fly this plane, you are going to need a $400,000 helmet. And now this is not just any old helmet here. This is made by Lockheed Martin. And it's custom made around the pilot's heads. They do a 3D scan. It's got night vision, a forehead-mounted computer, a projector. So it's kind of an augmented reality experience that's built into this helmet. It's unbelievable, the controls and the statistics and the vision that this thing gives you. So you're basically taking a $400,000 helmet and plugging it into a $100 million plane, and pretty much almost combining the pilot with the plane. It's absolutely crazy, the technology they have in the military, and very scary.
You know, we just got to, you know, it's a small accessory in the scheme of things, though, right? 100 million, 400,000.
Chump change, really.
It's like upgrading the set of Bose 7.
Yeah, it is. I guess it is pretty small potato.
Right, but you're right. You're staring at it from our perspective. That's pretty insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're talking, these things are going to be, if you look at the hours that they get on these jets when they put them out, it is like, you know, they spend millions of dollars on it. But you got to look at the missions, the flight time they get out of these too is pretty crazy.
You think they spray disinfectant in them after people, you know, use them and swap them?
No, they don't swap them. It's molded to your head.
It's custom made.
Yeah.
So if they retire,
they're not allowed to retire.
They're not allowed to retire.
Never. Nope. Well, they take your brain. The brain stays in the helmet.
That's right.
They find someone else. They mush their head to make it fit into the helmet.
You, they get people that are like in their 20s, and they say, okay, you're going to be in the military for another 20 years. We'll mold the helmet to you.
Got it. What's her name?
Oh, boy. You guys looking at the Peloton instructors?
John's got – he's catching up. I just think it's pretty cool that they're melding like this helmet as actually part of the plane.
I know. That's the future, right?
I wanted to do that to a car because people drive like crap around here.
Well, we need once the autopilot kind of becomes financially, you know, comes down economies of scale, and people, it just becomes the default, just like GPS is now. It's going to just make driving so much better.
There's too many people texting still. I went out for a bike ride before. I did 20 miles, and I was scared shitless the whole time. I was going to get wiped out by somebody during rush hour.
Oh, yeah, especially because you're in, like, SUV land, too, where you're driving or you're riding.
Yeah, they wouldn't even feel me. They would just bump right over, and I'd be like,
was that a squirrel? Oh, my God. Was that a squirrel? No, it was a human. Oh, it's okay.
It's okay. I got to send my little freaking emoji to my friend. That's all it is, right?
LOL. Take LOL. A soccer.
Look how many people like my picture.
That's right. Hey, let me take a picture of the guy dying on the side of the road. I'll get a lot of hits on YouTube.
All right, so now I'm looking at the Peloton instructors too. And that
boom,
dude.
Gotcha.
But Cody Rigsby, like he's undressing you with his eyes. I can't even look at him.
So if you're a lady and you want a little eye candy, there's eye candy for ladies and eye candy for guys, I tell you. And
I mean, do you see his chin? I mean, his chin is just like chiseled.
I got to say, though, like I do a lot of spin classes and, you know, when I'm not biking outside. And it really makes a difference, not just –
that Cody is hot.
Right?
The look of the instructor is great, but all these instructors have, like, really good energy, and they run a good class, I got to say. That makes them even more attractive when they have a good personality.
Hey, so. It's a great off-season training for skin.
I'm a personality guy, so I look at the personality.
Exactly.
Just saying.
So. Is that why we have barbells and pancakes as one of our – folks, we follow on Instagram.
I love
her personality.
Oh, it's great. I love pancakes, too. So the funniest thing, though, is when I first saw that, I was just looking at the pancakes, and I was like, oh, that's great. Oh, I see what's going on here. And I looked at it, and I was like, oh.
Are those melon pancakes?
But I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Look at the pancakes. This is really good.
They look delicious.
Like, am I seeing something that's an accident? I'm like, okay, let me
have 100,000 likes for just a picture of pancake. Oh,
exactly. It hit me like, I don't know. I was just looking at pancakes and then, yeah,
I get it.
Yeah, so, but look at the picture of the pancakes.
Delicious.
Wait, those are waffles.
I think I knew what they did there. I know what they did there.
Nobody's fool.
It's waffles. It's waffles. Oh, those are waffles. I love waffles. My favorite. Anyway, I love breakfast food. Something about breakfast food makes me so happy. All right, so we got a story about a man presumed dead after falling.
This is the final story.
Wrapping this up. We got time to talk. Man presumed dead after falling into Yellowstone Hot Spring, among other incidents. So the story came out because a guy fell into Yellowstone, into the hot spring. They didn't find him, and they believe he's dead because he fell into the spring. They saw him. They haven't found him, and they say the springs can get up to like 200 degrees. So he's probably unfortunate, you know, really bad. But what I really found interesting about this is it's like on the heels of a bunch of other crazy crap that's happened in the park. So I guess people go in there. We were in Jackson Hole this year talking to the locals.
We took our private jet, played chess on the plane.
And IG5. And all the people in town
said – custom helmet.
We had custom helmets. But everybody in town said how crazy it is in the summer. And now this story just highlights all – not just there's a lot of people there, but they're idiots too. So they said a 13-year-old boy was burned around his ankle after his father slipped in a hot spring. All right, that's just an accident, whatever. They said in May, a Canadian film crew, which they probably found film footage.
There's pancakes.
Was accused of leaving a boardwalk and going into a geothermal feature where they were taking video and pictures of themselves. Who knows what they were doing? Yeah, they're Canadian. I don't know. And then last month, another Canadian man, I heard about this and I was pretty pissed off when I heard this. Canadian man loaded a bison calf into his SUV because he thought it was cold.
That now, is the dumbest person I've ever heard anything ever about.
They're our brothers from a northern mother.
Now, why you think this was like, oh, he just loaded to the thing? The end result, the calf had to be euthanized because they couldn't get it back reunited with its herd.
Okay, you're right. They're stupid.
Yeah. Like, most idiotic. Oh, it's cold. Let's put him in the car. Moron.
Let me put you get a Leafs jersey for you, eh? It'll keep you warm.
Oh, they don't know about playoff hockey, though.
Oh, shout out to the Pittsburgh Penguins, 2016 Stanley Cup champions. That's right.
No Canadian team had a chance, just saying.
None just chance was had. Yeah. Yeah, there was another. Now, you know, speaking of Yellowstone, there was also back in March a crazy story. There was a wolf pack that slaughtered 19 elk. And they said this wasn't like a regular we're hunting for food. This was like killing for sport.
Huh.
And they there's a picture. 19 elk were slaughtered by a pack of wolves.
And, so let me ask you, if you're in a restaurant and you have elk that's farm raised or elk for twice the price that was killed by wolves,
does it make a sound?
Same.
Which oh, I would totally take? Pay extra for like wolf elk.
Wolf elk.
Wolf elk.
Wolf on the
wolf
elk.
Wolf elk.
But I could. That would be awesome, right?
That would be pretty awesome.
I mean, they're probably, because how gangster wolves are, they're probably going after the most gangster elk.
Speaking of wolf elk, how many elk do you think Vince Wilfork could eat in one sitting?
No more than seven.
Six, you said seven. It's got to be around there. You barbecue in Texas now. He could barbecue the crap out of it.
Elk brisket. Mm-hmm.
Ah. He's a big dude. Big dude.
Yeah. So I guess that wraps it up for the week then, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, eh?
Beautiful. So, yeah. So shout out to the Penguins. And also, if any of you guys are in New York City this Friday, podcast should come out tomorrow, so you have a day to get out there. Mario, where are we going to be?
We are going to the cannabis convention in New York City, the Jacob Javits Center.
The Cannabis World Congress and Business Expo.
Exactly. So it's a business to business. It's legit. It's based on medical marijuana, you know, businesses and labor issues and legal issues and just products and stuff like that. So it's going to be a lot of interesting information we're going to get from there. We're going to network and just see what it's all about.
And free samples.
Hopefully free samples. But
and you know what? It's so legit that potential president candidate Gary Johnson is going to be in attendance tomorrow, Thursday, the 16th.
Look at that.
Boom.
You know, honest truth, the biggest thing, you know, with regards to the marijuana business is no one can get funding. right? Because no one wants to finance the business.
Yeah, they're going through the banking aspects of it. There's a lot of different pieces to it that are interesting. They have seminars. There's a bunch of workshops in the whole expo. So
still very high risk as far as funding. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But all it takes is that one company, that one venture capitalist, that one, you know, that spark to ignite all the kindling.
Just want to be
the off the ground.
That's what I'm saying.
We should fund it. I've got like 10 bucks.
I got like 40.
40. Maybe we're up to 50 already. Look at that.
Boom.
Go fund me.
Go fund me in a Kickstarter.
There you go.
We'll need a van to deliver.
Well, we'll go fund me for the van, and then we'll Kickstarter for the business.
We'll get one of them drones.
Oh, dude.
Weed delivery drone.
Weed delivery drones. But 3D printing your own weed. Unfortunately, you need the weed to print it first.
You need a THC ink.
THC oil.
THC oil. I think we can figure this out. If we put our heads together and have a few more beers, we can figure out how to 3D print weed.
Well, you said they had chocolate printing. What goes good with chocolate other than THC?
There you go.
True.
Just put the oil in the chocolate.
It's pretty much the Reese's peanut butter cup of the 21st century.
Yeah, I heard a story about somebody eating a whole ton of brownies. and they were playing what were they playing? Queen and Castle under the table when we got back from skiing.
Yes.
That was interesting. That was a surprise. Like, hey guys, what's up?
That was definitely something. That, hey, you know what? When you're up at a ski mountain and it rains, you got to find something else to do.
That's right. It was a matter of dosing. I think it was the dosage. That's what it was.
It was a heavy dosage.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. So, we will be in attendance at the Cannabis World Expo on Friday the 17th. So, yeah, if you're around, if you're going, hit us up. Let us know. We're going to be posting. And we'll be around to say hi. So drop on by, say hi. We would appreciate it. Love talking to the fans. Thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate it. And thank John for coming out this week.
Yeah.
We appreciate having
you. Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure, man. And yeah, hit us up, skibumpodcast@gmail.com, skibumpodcast.com, twitter.com/skibumpodcast, facebook.com/skibumpodcast. And Instagram.com/skibumpodcast.
And as always, stay high and stay polluting.
See ya.